Good morning. Why don't you turn around and greet somebody once again? Okay. Good to see you all. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Okay, don't be that friendly. Praise the Lord. Okay, first some announcements. We have Cubbies tonight at 5:30. Okay, so please, if you plan on attending the Cubbies event at 5:30, please go to the church office and sign up. Okay, also we have prayer meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., so if you're so inclined, that's open for everybody. Every Monday morning, 9 a.m., we'd love to have you. And please join us for our midweek Bible study that's been going on. We're actually starting Titus this week, so we'll be in our third book as we're talking about qualifications for leadership. So we'll be going through the book of Titus. So again, that's Wednesdays, of course, 6 o'clock. You're welcome to join us for that. And then please keep in mind our youth group, Thursday nights at 6:30 for the junior high and the high school students. It's in the gym with Victor and Pastor Jeremiah. There's games and food and, of course, a great message. And then finally, please, after we shut down the service, please, everybody, just stay for a few minutes because we have a special presentation acknowledgement at that time. So keep that in mind. I'll try to remind you as we go. So we're still in the book of Hebrews, of course. Hebrews, our verses, as Carol just read, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. So if you brought your Bible, please follow along with us. And the title of our message is Our Better High Priest. The whole teaching in the book of Hebrews is really comparisons about Jesus to others like Moses and, in this case, other high priests, if you will, and how in every case Jesus is better and why he's better. It's so important for us to take to heart in who Jesus is. And we really dug in deep last Sunday when we revealed that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Bible sitting on your lap. And so when you read the Bible, you're reading Jesus. So important to take that to heart, because if we struggle with reading the Bible, that means we're struggling with Jesus. And that's okay, because in struggling comes growth. But keep struggling, meaning keep coming back. Keep what I call working the wall. I remember watching a Margaret and I love documentaries. I remember watching a documentary about a rock climber who free climbed El Capitan in Yosemite. He was the first one to do it. And he didn't just start at the base and go right up. He worked the wall, meaning he went over it and over and over it in his mind. He had a strategy, had a route in mind, and he worked that strategy, worked that route with the hookups and everything until he actually knew how he was going to do it without the ropes and the harnesses and everything. He worked the wall. If you struggle with the Word of God in a particular verse, right, or a passage or a chapter or the whole book, work the wall. Keep going back to it, because this is the life of Jesus, and this is, most importantly, his message to you, specifically, individually, personally, deep into your heart, like we studied last time. It cuts to the heart, and sometimes it hurts. It's like, ow, okay, well, why is there pain there? Well, because maybe you're hung up on some kind of sin, and he wants to heal you of that. He wants to break you of that to give you freedom and peace and comfort and help you with your life. That's the blessing of the Word of God. And that's how Jesus wants to bless us. It's a childlike faith. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But do we do it? That's the hard part. Well, I'm too busy, right? I'm caught up in the things of life. Okay, then especially if we're caught up in sin, then the Lord can't bless that, can he? He can't bless your sin. He just can't do it. But if you come to him and confess and say, Lord, I'm struggling with, you know I'm struggling with this one thing. This is my weakness. And who attacks us in our weaknesses? The devil, right? Middle of the night, usually for me, like 3 or 4 in the morning when I have half an eye open and that's my bad eye. And he goes, bam. It's like, where did that come from? Well, I caught you while you were sleeping, you know, in your weaknesses. And he knows our weaknesses. And he'll hit you with them until your last breath. And that's the bad news as we get older. He doesn't give up on us. But we keep fighting the good fight, don't we? So, Jesus is our better high priest. So what does that mean? We'll get into that. We have some main themes here: faith, relationship, and prayer. So take these to heart as we go through these verses. I'm going to read them again, but there's some key words here, namely, hold fast as we come boldly. Okay? So if you're taking notes, write those down and note them here. I'm in the New King James. And let me just read them, and you'll hear them come through here. Again, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's one thing I was thinking as I was reading this was, because it's the written word, what it's missing is what we call tonal inflection, right? So when there's a conversation going on or a declaration or some kind of prophecy or whatever, we're just reading it, right? Like just now. But when you read it, you can read it out loud. And it's as if you're hearing God speaking to you, because it's his word to you, right? So please, please keep that in mind. It's so important. So remember, the context of this is Jesus is the living word. That was our title from last time. And the word cuts to the heart. He knows the intents of the heart. He knows what we're thinking. And that's hard to live with sometimes, because we're not always thinking the right things, are we? But he helps us with that in our time of need. And the request last time was that he falls afresh upon us. When the children of Israel were wandering through the desert, what did they eat? Manna, right? But what happened if they let it go more than a day? It got stale, right? It was covered with worms and stuff. It was bad. It was yesterday's manna, okay? If you're reading the Bible and you're going through it, especially if you're preparing to teach it, I have never taught the same message twice, with the exception of teaching in one day if I've done multiple services. But I don't go back to old services, old messages, and dust them off and say, oh, okay, I'll share this with El Centro today. No, that's yesterday's manna. I need it fresh. We all need it fresh. Because when you read through the Word of God, he shows you something different every single time. Margaret and I have been reading through the Bible for years. And every single time we go through the same passages, there's always something new, because it's the eternal Word of God. It's alive. It's like the body of Christ is a living, breathing organism. That's all of us. And who's our head? Jesus, right? Same thing with the Word of God. It's alive. And when you take it into your heart, his Spirit feeds on that, so to speak, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, so Jesus is the living word, and you take him in spiritually as you read the Bible. That's the premise for all this. We're in 3 points: faith in Jesus, verse 14, relationship with Jesus, verse 15, and come to Jesus, verse 16. So starting with faith in Jesus, right off, verse 14, it says, seeing then. Seeing what? It's like you could say, therefore, or because of this, because Jesus is the living word, because Jesus is the Bible, And because his message to us cuts to the heart, he knows what we're thinking, and he wants to bless us, he wants to heal us, he wants to help us, right? Because of all this, we have a great high priest, okay? He's our high priest. Now, remember, the original audience were Jewish Christians. Christians were just coming out of Judaism, okay? They're coming out of the law. They have all their traditions. They have the coming out of that sacrificial system and having to live by the law. Like, okay, how do we do this now? You know, how can we be in free in Christ and still call ourselves a Jew, but we're followers of Jesus, so now we're becoming Christians? What does that look like? And it took a long time for them to figure it out. And a lot of them failed because they didn't want to give up their traditions. They could not live with the freedom that they had in Christ anymore. It was really, really difficult. Even Peter. Peter had a really difficult time, especially the dietary laws. And he hypocritically separated himself from the Greeks and the Romans. When all the Christians would come together, they'd get in their little cliques. And Paul called him on it and said, "What are you doing? You know, these are our brothers. We should all be breaking bread together. Stop this. You need to acknowledge what you're doing here." So it took Peter some time to be able to do that. Jesus is our high priest. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed of God. He's the ultimate high priest. Okay. We also have symbolically high priests as pastors and leaders and elders in the church, right? What's the main qualification for that we talk about on our midweek study? They have to be anointed by God. Okay. God's chosen vessel for such a time as this to lead the church. Okay. If your pastor is not anointed, then he's a hireling. He's just here for the money, or maybe a career move, a stepping stone, or to something else, or whatever it might be. That's something to pray for, that you make sure your pastor is anointed by God. How do you know it? By the decisions he makes, the wisdom God gives him. Is he feeding you from the Word of God? Is he praying for you? Right? See what I'm saying? So you have to acknowledge that Jesus, certainly as the Messiah, was anointed by God. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." He had to be human, okay? If God didn't send his son, if God didn't become flesh, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, that's Jesus. If he didn't do that, then we're lost in our sins, right? Because there's no cross, there's no shed blood, there's no hope of heaven. Without Jesus, we're hopeless, okay? But we do have Jesus, and he made a way. But he had to be human to shed his blood, right? That simple, really. God had to become human. He had to become like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. So, so important. So, again, here in Hebrews, since then, we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens. Where'd Jesus come from? Came from heaven, okay? Like we used to sing, he came from heaven to earth to show us the way, right? Sang that in children's ministry, right? Who passed through the heavens. He came from heaven. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's all those things. And he's not of this world. Yes, it's important to look at Jesus' humanity, but we also have to take with that he's 100% God, right? We can't ever, ever lose sight of that. He's not of this world. John 8:23, and he said to them, you are from, he's talking to the Pharisees now, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world, right? And because now, as born-again believers, we're citizens of heaven. We are not of this world. Our hope, our future, our citizenship is in heaven. But our eternity starts now. So one thing we have in common with Jesus is, yes, we're human, but we have his spirit living inside of us. So it gives us this spiritual, carnal livelihood, if you will, okay, where we have this mix. And the question is, as human beings, who or what do we put first? The spirit or the flesh? When you're, before you're alive in Christ, before you're born again, you are flesh, soul, and spirit. Okay, you don't know anything about your spirit, right? You don't know of things spiritual. All you know is your flesh, your fleshly desires, if you will, okay? But you have a soul, that's the essence of who you are. But your spirit is dead because you don't have the Holy Spirit. But when you're born again, it flops. So the spirit comes first. So your spirit, soul, and the flesh is pushed down. That's the old man that you're constantly, every day, having to push down and say no to sin, no to temptation. God, you know, help me. God, don't let me go there, or whatever that prayer is, so that you have the strength not to sin. But the Spirit helps you acknowledge that moment. That's the power he gives us over sin. Praise God. Whereas before, we were just, you know, anything goes. But God helped us with that. Praise God. So now, we are not of this world. Because of that, we're able to put the Spirit over the flesh. And because of who Jesus is, because of where our faith is at, because he is our high priest, he came from heaven, and now we're not of this world, it says, let us hold fast our confession, meaning let's hold on to our faith. Because he gives us the strength to do that. Therefore, we're able to stay true to what we believe because it's true. And our faith is blessed and grows and is strengthened by everything that we do relative to God. Read the Bible, help somebody, pray for somebody, get involved in the church, tithe, whatever it might be, right? When you do the things of God, you're demonstrating your faith, right? It's that clear, and it becomes that real to you. This isn't something we do just to feel good. It's not an emotional thing, is it? It's not something we do to score points with the church or to impress somebody. No, this is who we are. That's when it goes deep. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and all I want to do is talk about Jesus. You got a couple hours? No, I'm kidding. But that's when he puts it on your heart and says, child, right? Son, daughter, let me help you with this. And we're all at different places, aren't we, in our walk? We're all at different levels of maturity. We're all in different situations in our lives, our busyness, everything, right? But together, this is where it's so important for the church to come together and say, how can I pray for you? How can I help you with the things you're struggling with? I don't need to know your business, but I can point you in the right direction, possibly. You know, to a brother can help, a sister can help, whatever the resources that you need. That's when we get stronger together. That's when the body of Christ works with our high priest, with Jesus at the head. Hebrews 3:6 says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So we hold on to our faith, we hold on to our confession, but it also says here in the previous chapter, we hold fast to our confidence, not self-confidence, Christ's confidence. The ultimate kind of confidence really is, I have confidence when I have a difficulty, when I have a trial, when I have a struggle, and I don't know how it's going to work out, I can come to God in prayer and say, Lord, you know exactly how this is going to work out. I trust you because you have the answer. You know the answer. You know the timing. You know the details. I just will wait on you, right? And that's how our faith grows. Secondly, point number two, it's about relationship with Jesus here in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Praise God. He can relate to us. Don't think of God as being, you know, a zillion miles away in a cloud with a big long white beard, and he can't relate to you as a spiritual being. I used to do this, believe me. And until I met Jesus through his word, through his spirit, through teachings, and realized how his love was demonstrated for us, until you develop that personal relationship with him, you can't understand how he could possibly sympathize with me. How could he relate to one person, let alone everyone who's ever existed? Because he's God, and he created each one of us. That's how, right? Have you ever created something, like a work of art, or, I don't know, something special for somebody, a gift, a present? You created something, right? And you thought of all the details, like a beautiful birthday wrapping, or something. Margaret is excellent at wrapping, and I just put brown paper around it, but she makes everything beautiful, right? So she puts a lot of deep thought in it, but it's a creation, right? And I think rightly so, you can be proud of something you created. God created each and every one of us, and we're all uniquely different. Praise God, we're not all the same. But take that to heart, that he created your soul for a purpose. And most importantly, he died for your soul so you could spend eternity in heaven with him forever. That's redundant, but it's true. That's how much he loves you. Take that to heart. But he can sympathize with us. The word sympathize in the Greek means to be affected with the same feeling as another. He knows what we've been through, because he was a man. And I see that as a blessing. It's just one more way we can get closer to God. Unlike, you know, some other high priests, like if you have a pastor who's not anointed, who's just a hireling, who doesn't care about the church, you're going to know that. Instead of having someone who has a deep concern for every single one of us and is praying for us. Big difference. So he knows what we're going through. And he knows our weaknesses, our temptations, our trials, our struggles, all of it. But it says here in Hebrews, but was in all points tempted as we are. Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, after he fasted for 40 days. Talk about being in a weak moment in his humanity. Yeah, he was weak. And again, that's when the devil comes in our weakest moments, thinking he can tempt us to sin. And he does. He'll throw those temptations out and do everything he can to get us to fall. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Why? Because he's been through it. He can relate to us, and we can relate to him. That's a blessing. So he did all of this, and all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He didn't sin. He said no to sin. He was able to do that because he acknowledged who he was as the anointed of God, as his responsibility as the God-man, the Son of Man, the servant of man. But he was without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us," right? On the cross, he took it all, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We can't do righteousness on our own, can we? It's just filthy, the Bible says, right? My righteousness is nothing. I need the righteousness of God in me to be righteous. So the only righteousness in me is the Holy Spirit, right? God's Spirit living in me. And so that's why we have to feed the Spirit spiritually through the Word of God. It all works together. We read the Bible so we know how to live. We go to church, so there's a guy up here saying, this is how you do this, right? But then we have to take it to heart and say, tomorrow morning, how do I do this? That's the kicker, isn't it? That's the difficult part. How do I live this? And overcome our biggest criticism out of the world, they all say we're a bunch of hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. Stick true. Be committed. And you can live right. It is possible. If it was impossible to do, he wouldn't call us to do it, to live right by him. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's perfect. He set the standard, the perfect standard as high priest. And he gives us something to live for, to shoot for. But if we had a standard that was less than perfect, then we wouldn't have anything to attain to of perfection. So every single day we live, we want to be like little Jesuses, right? Little Christ. That's what a Christian is, a follower of Jesus Christ, a little Christ. So we constantly have that challenge every day of our life to be more like Jesus, to live right by him. And we can't do it without a relationship with him. Jesus relates to us on several levels. Number one, of course, he became flesh. He took on our sins. He shed his blood on the cross, lovingly received God's wrath in that moment, and provided a way to eternal life. So we have the God-man of Jesus relating to us at every level because, again, he was tempted as we were. And now the blessing, point number three, verse 16, is we're able to come to Jesus, right? And not just come to him, but look what it says. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Not wait, not hold back. I think too many of us, too many times say, well, I can't pray because I'm hung up on this one thing. Or, you know, of course, the typical one, I'm too busy, right? How anybody can be too busy to pray, I haven't really figured that one out yet, but we use that as an excuse, right? Or I don't know how to pray, right? We use that one too. But He's turning the tables on and saying, I want you to come boldly. So that means unabashedly, openly, bring your sin to him. Okay, Brad, that's hard. How do I do that? Well, you be honest. He wants to live in truth. If you're struggling with something, come to him in prayer. Don't come to the pastor. Don't come to somebody else. We don't need to know your business. If you're struggling with something deep inside of you, bring it to God, because he's the one that's going to cleanse you. He's the one that's going to heal you. He's the one that's going to give you peace and show you how to live right by him, right? But the devil says, God's too busy for you. The devil says, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. You're a good person. This is all going to work out somehow, because he wants to keep us down. He doesn't want us coming boldly to the throne room of grace. He doesn't want us to know anything about grace and mercy and forgiveness, does he? He doesn't want us to be a child of God. He hates us, and the devil's plan for us is to take us down to hell with him. Don't cooperate with him, right? Just tell him to get behind you. I'm walking with Jesus. When that temptation comes and it's right there in front of you, you just say, I'm not going there. Lord, give me the strength not to give in to this right now. And it's, for many of us, it's chocolate. Right? Let's just, you know, be honest. But, you know, maybe just one bite. That's how it starts, though, isn't it? And sin's just like that. We have to be really careful with that. Self-control kicks in, and you say, Lord, give me the strength not to eat that whole piece of chocolate, just a bite, and walk away. Right, ladies? Right? Okay. All right. So we can enter in boldness. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus. His shed blood on the cross tore the veil in the Holy of Holies in the temple, and symbolically that said to every believer, now you, saint, have the opportunity to come to the Father boldly with your needs, your requests, your struggles, whatever it is, even your wants. And he'll help you define your wants between your needs. Sometimes we need help with that, don't we? What's the difference between a want and a need? Wants are insatiable. You know, we can want everything, but do we need him? No, he knows what we need. And that's where he helps us so much. Because I don't always know what I need more than what I want. But he gives you the wisdom and the discernment to distinguish between the two. So we can come boldly, and what happens? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We all need mercy. Maybe we don't even acknowledge it. Mercy is defined as not getting what we deserve. We deserve hell because we're sinners, but we don't get it because we're in Christ. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, Romans 8:1, right? And so because of that, we can have a bold relationship with God. Wow, because of what Jesus did for us. So we can obtain mercy and then find or discover grace. Grace has got to be one of the most powerful words in the English language, if we really take it to heart. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. God's unmerited favor, right? The official definition. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's such a beautiful word. So because we can obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need, and that's revealed by our hearts. Remember last Sunday when our hearts are cut and we say, God, okay, you know me. Search me and know me, the psalmist said. Let's be honest. I'm struggling with this, or I'm dealing with this, or I don't know how this is going to work out. I need your help. And you do that heart surgery, and God comes in and says, okay, step by step, let's work on this. And we're going to heal you and help you and love you and bless you beyond exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. That's when you want to nurture that relationship with God. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When you come to God and confess your sins, that's when you're cleansed. That's what he wants us to do. And that cleansing, it's like when the lepers were healed and they had all their sores and they were kicked out of their society. They couldn't be involved in the temple And anytime they're walking down the street, they had to walk on the opposite side of the street and yell out, unclean, unclean. A horrible existence. But when God healed them, when he cleansed them, sometimes it said their skin was like a baby's, you know, and they had a new beginning. They had a new start. And that's what he does inside us. He cleanses us from our sins. And that cleansing, that fresh cleansing, shows us that now we're new creations. We're new creatures in Christ. And it's a whole new life that we live. And every day from that point on is fresh and new and exciting. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. I hope and pray everybody here understands that, takes it to heart, has it, or at least has a desire to discover it. And believe me, the Lord is faithful to bring it to you if you just ask for it. It's just a simple prayer. Jesus is our better high priest because we can know him personally. We have faith in Jesus as our knowledge in Christ of who Christ is builds up our faith. We have relationship with Jesus because that knowledge that we have through his word nurtures that relationship every day. And thirdly, we can come to Jesus because the knowledge of him that we gain through our prayers bears fruit. We're able to obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. And that's how we live as Christians. That's our goal. Are we perfect? No, but it's a walk, step by step. It's a process. We learn the things of God, and if our heart is open to him and we're able and willing to confess our sins, he will forgive us and bless our relationship with him. I hope and pray that your heart is touched by these messages to the point where you just want to get closer to God, whatever that looks like for you. Start with prayer. Start with going to the Word. Start with seeking good counsel by people that you respect. For us elderly folk, find somebody to counsel, to mentor, okay? This church should be all about now leaving a legacy. Who's next? The next generation. That's the future of the church, not us. Okay, we're all about leaving a legacy so the next generation knows how to carry the torch, carry the message of the gospel, right? So we should be all about mentoring right now. This should be the mentoring church for us older folk, okay? And you younger folks, take it to heart. Be sponges. Take it all in and ask God where you can be a blessing. So if you're here today, or you're watching on Facebook and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's just a simple prayer away. All you have to do is invite him in your heart and start your first steps of being a Christian. If that's you, just please close your eyes and bow your heads and repeat this very, very simple prayer after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. And I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you just received the Lord, please, please come up after and we'll help you with your first steps. Get you a Bible. If you're on Facebook, call us tomorrow. Come in and pray with us. But don't do this on your own. We need each other now more than ever. More than ever. And pray for our nation. Pray for where all of this is going. The only way we're going to overcome all of this is through prayer and drawing closer to the Lord. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him how you can be a witness of his love to everybody he puts in your path. Amen? Amen. God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. And we'll see you next time. God bless. Amen. Amen. Okay, please hang for a moment. We have a very special